Our first reading can be found on page 191 in the New Testament section of our Bibles. And it's taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the gospel reading, which can be found on page 69 and is taken from Luke chapter 10. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. And I'm starting at verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Friends, do please be seated. We pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. May it be a light to our feet and a lamp to our paths, bringing us even this day closer to Jesus and every day, in whose name we pray. Amen. One of the great bits of the Church of England liturgy is, of course, as we've just experienced, this is the word of the Lord, and the congregation happily reply, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that God speaks to us. We can receive it for ourselves. And as we've been reflecting on over the last couple of weeks, one of the ways of hearing the word of the Lord is not just from the printed page, the text and how that lands in the scriptures, It's what you might call the shape of the text within any one passage of Scripture. So we're looking at Luke chapter 10, the last cameo or story that's mentioned in that chapter. And we've been trying to, at pains, to say that how that particular story relates to the whole of the shape of the chapter, that too is the word of the Lord. The other way of receiving the word of the Lord is not just the shape of the text within its broadest context, but it's the actual story that you hear. You could even say that the whole Bible is one long love story. God is the lover, and we are those who receive his love. I mean, this now is really dumbed down, but you've got the whole of the Old Testament, the old ways of him loving or trying to keep God's people on the straight and narrow. And then you have the New Testament. Our Lord comes, the wonderful picture of grace, the formation of the church. The whole story is love. But back to Luke 10, Mary and Martha. Mary's chosen the better way. We've heard of Martha in the news recently. Martha's law. Each person should be entitled under NHS guidelines. How are you going to pay for this? I don't know. To get a second opinion. Martha, in this particular story, is, of course, the word of the Lord comes from the story. Martha is Mary's sister. Mary's chosen the better way. So is this now to be a sermon? This is the word of the Lord on sibling rivalry. I mean, trust me, as a father of five, this particular thought occupies coffee morning conversations with my wife and I quite frequently. How are they all getting on with each other? Maybe you're an only child. Maybe you've got someone older than you. Maybe you've got someone younger than you. But either way, we're dealing with a story of Mary and Martha. Can feel a little bit sharp, can't it? Mary's chosen the better way. I mean, imagine me. Good morning, children. They just line up before me. Just now, I'm going to tell you which one's my favourite. Which one's going to get the most amount of pocket money? Who's going to get the most in my inheritance? I mean, not that there's a lot coming towards, but it's not going to go down well, is it? So we need not just to hear the shape of the text in the broader setting of Luke 10, Mary's chosen the better way. We need to reflect on the story of these sisters. And now it's going to get quite poignant. And their brother. For we've met them before. The disciples. John chapter 11, verse 5. This is beautiful. Accordingly, though, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. He was there in their home, there for a particular reason, because Lazarus had taken sick and died. No Martha's law, but the law of resurrection was about to be demonstrated in a quite profound way. Jesus' humanity was about to be demonstrated in a quite profound way. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And then, of course, we know the end of the story. Lazarus come out, and he comes out alive. The resurrection law for all of his disciples to see. But just before we think that Mary's the favorite child, have a thought, have a pause for Martha. For Martha in this story comes off better. Look at these wonderful questions she's able to answer. John chapter 11, verse 25. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Jesus says to Martha, Jesus loves Martha. Do you believe this? Martha says, "Lord, you know I believe." And then, wonder of wonders, the story unfolds. The brother of Martha and Mary, Lazarus, walks out alive. This is not a swipe to Martha. This is not elevating Mary in kind of some crazy sibling rivalry. Martha's got this. Mary, actually, need to be careful not to enter into psychobabble, but perhaps there's a difference in personality types. Mary is grief-stricken, is nowhere to be seen. Sometimes this is perhaps a sideline, activists, full-on people who find it difficult to sit still or be talked to. They just know what to do and do it. Sometimes those people are better in a crisis. Others more quiet. I just need to kind of think this through for a moment. I need a good holiday before I get my mind around this, and I just need to calm down and then I'll be able to help you. That's not much good if you have a fire or cesarean section or an emergency on hand. You actually need to do something. And Martha was there. I believe you, Lord. But the story is of Mary and Martha. In this particular case, Mary's chosen the better way. And this particular story comes after us. I need to remind you in Luke chapter 10 of the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Christian church goes out of its way to care for those in need who aren't part of their number. And unless we follow Mary's way and listen to the voice of the Lord, we won't be able to do that. And the first part of Luke 10 is to preach and proclaim the kingdom of God. Unless you listen to the word of God, know the king's with you, that's Mary's model, we won't be able to do that. So there we are, there are the disciples. No pecking order. It's not that the Lord says, I don't care about Mary or I don't care about Martha. He loves them both. He loves the brother too. He loves everyone. But this particular story is designed to bring home to us this vital, vital, important thing. All of us need to discover somehow that Mary's chosen the better way. To sit at the feet of Jesus. To listen to his particular word and apply it to our lives. The human race which he loves, us whom he loves, won't be fit for purpose, won't be blessed unless we receive humbly the teaching of Jesus. And when we receive it, do something about it. So if those are the disciples, the home that Jesus visits, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, this is the drama. And it is quite some drama, isn't it? I mean, it's not just auntie and uncle coming for tea. It's not the vicar. It's not even the prime minister. It's not the member of the royal family. Imagine Charles comes out of his cancer treatment. He just knocks on your door and says, could I come for tea, please? I mean, you'd do more than just go to Greg's, wouldn't you, and try to say, do you fancy a cuppa, pal? You'd go out of your way. You've got Jesus. And these people who he loved and they were kind of fond of him, they were going to go out of their way. And Martha's in the kitchen, worried and upset and distracted. Mary is hanging on his every word. That's the better way. I know this ages me, but you remember Dad's army? Don't panic, Mr. Mannering! The irony of that particular sketch is that don't panic's fine. But if you've more than got your knickers in a twist, you're yelling and you're spinning around like a headless chicken, and you're worthy of a consultant psychiatrist appointment, you're not going to be able to help anyone. Jesus, tell Mary to do something. I'm in such a state. She doesn't care. You're worried. You're upset about many things. It's not just that I've come to pay a visit. This is you, Martha. You're worried. You're upset. And I don't think he said, get a grip. I don't think he said that. What he said was, you need to listen to my word. You might find it difficult to listen to your husband's word. You might find it difficult to listen to your wife's word. I'm increasingly finding it difficult to listen to my children's words. But there is one person when I kind of sense he's speaking to me, I try and calm down. I listen to him because this is Jesus. He loves me. He knows what I need. And with the word comes the effect the word's designed to bring. Men and women cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We won't even be able to calm down. We won't even be able to know the way. We won't even be able to live. Jesus speaks to Lazarus, that one word that he couldn't possibly hear because he's dead. But Jesus knows, he knows, the family knows, would be great to hear, Lazarus, come out. But daily we need that risen word of Christ to be who we are. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us today our daily bread, the food, the word, the substance that we need to calm down, to do something, to be for Christ. Without him, without his word, we'll be lesser people. We might, of course, not be as bad as Martha, preaching at other people, don't they care about me? Throwing our pots and pans everywhere, make it a right old scene of it. We might not be as bad as that. But we're a whole lot better when we're humble, when we listen to Jesus. And then when he speaks, we say, Lord, that was great. Could you tell me about that thing as well? Mary sat at Jesus' feet. She didn't just, oh, that was a nice tip. That was a nice podcast. I'll get on my way now and trouble the rest of the world with my irritating personality that most other people that live with me know I've got. I mean, is this close to the bone or not? Jesus loves Mary and Martha. The particular issue in this case was worry. I happened to read this week these selection of verses. The antidote to worry is not having the vicar to tell you to calm down, not listening to someone that probably annoys you anyway because that's not going to get through, not reading something in a doctor's surgery or a dentist's place just passing the time of day. The thing that's going to help is Jesus. And Jesus comes to you in his flesh now by his word. Listen to these words. The mind controlled by the Spirit is peace. Peace I leave with you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Trust in God, joy and hope and peace as you believe in him. You will keep in perfect peace everyone whose mind is stayed on you. I do get it. We're not all as bad as Clive Dunn. Don't panic, Mr. Mannering. Don't panic. We will all have our moments. But we all need those moments when Jesus speaks to us. And as he speaks, so we live day by day. Back not just to the story of Mary and Martha, but the wider shape of Luke chapter 10. The church won't be able to go forward together without the word of the Lord. The church won't be able to care for other people unless we're fed by the word of the Lord. How's God spoken to you today? What's the one word you need to hear? Imagine Jesus coming to your home. Imagine Jesus knocking at the door, sitting with your nearest and dearest. Imagine Jesus being in that place where your brother has died and he comes to speak to you about grief. Imagine Jesus being in a kind of domestic that you've just witnessed. She doesn't care about me. He loves you. You might be dead without him. Everyone who believes in me shall not die but have eternal life. If you don't believe in him, if you don't care about him, you got all the years you got on earth, and then it's not looking pretty for you afterwards. But until then, until that great and glorious day when the whole humanity who trust in Christ are loved by him fully, he desires that you walk in his way and hear his word. And as he brings his word, so he brings his presence. So good to be preaching on this after the day of resurrection, Easter Sunday, and thinking too shortly about the ascension. The fact that he's gone from view means he's in everyone's view. He can be in every place where that word needs to come. Peace to you, dear loved ones. I want to come to your home, your soul, your heart with my very word. We pray together. Father, for those particular words you've spoken to us, we happily and gladly receive them, sitting at your feet. Grant that we with Mary might be those who choose the better way. Help us to be wise, build the house of our lives upon the rock of your teaching. And where we're foolish and ignore you, thank you that you still love us. Grant us grace to receive your word each and every day, that indeed we might truly live. We pray in silence for those who have particular worries and concerns, that your grace and peace would be with them. Perhaps even those here today. Risen Lord, you love us and we're yours. Watch over us and keep our minds in perfect peace, for they're rested upon you. Amen.